Hello, and welcome to the Nashville Unplugged podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for ABC's Nashville. I'm Mara.
And I'm James.
And we're here to talk about Season 2, Episode 1, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, howdy, was this a heck of a premiere.
Yeah, it was a really good premiere.
Really good. Lots of stuff happened.
Some of our predictions were correct, some were incorrect.
Some were incorrect. More of James's were correct than mine, I will admit. Booyah. But let's just get right into the recap. And by the way, if you hear a plane in the background, that's because we live...
near LaGuardia Airport.
Yeah, near LaGuardia Airport. I mean, not right near, but they are flying overhead. So I apologize for that. So let's just get into the recap. So, scene one, right? We begin right where we left, right after the car wreck. I'm guessing not much time has lapsed. Deacon's kind of waking up from the crash. He frees his hand. We kind of hear his hand pull. Ouch.
Yeah.
It was his left hand.
Yeah.
His chord hand on the guitar.
I'm worried that that's going to be a factor as far as him not being able to play as well.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something that they explore.
Yeah. I'm a bit worried about it myself. So Deacon wakes up, he tries to free Raina. He ends up pushing the dashboard out, the glass is crashed out and the car's kind of on fire, and he gets out, and then we see him laying on the grass, and then immediately fade into a flashback.
Which we've never had before in the show.
No, I don't believe we have.
We've never had a flashback. Which was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we got to see young Deacon and young Raina, and whoa, did Connie Britton look young. I don't know what they did for makeup and hair, but, I mean, her hair was shorter, but God, she looked really young.
Yeah, and Deacon, they basically just made him shave. To look younger.
That was how they made him look younger. That took off 14 years off him just by shaving.
So we see Deacon surprising Raina with a house.
Yep, surprising her with a house.
I guess he had bought it for her.
Yeah, he said there's like 300 more payments left, and she mentioned something about how you're not supposed to make big decisions after getting out of rehab, so... this is the first time of the 5 times he went to rehab. And he just got out.
And we also, she mentions that she's just been nominated for her first CMA award.
Yeah, her first CMA award. So she has to get to a rehearsal for that.
15 years ago, we're thinking? Something like that?
I mean, I'm not sure how long or how many... I mean, he went to rehab 5 times, so I'm not sure in the course of a year he went 5 times. I mean, this may be...
16 or 17.
I mean, she's been nominated for what? Like, she's won 4?
4 times, yeah.
So she's probably been nominated more than that. And I'm guessing this is maybe...
mid-90s, late-90s.
I mean, she's been in the business 20 years, so it's probably, like, 17. I don't think it probably took her too long to get nominated for a CMA once her career got going. So
yeah.
maybe as much as 18 years ago this is. Yeah. So that's pretty great.
So that would mean that she would have been going up against like Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
And
yikes. Let's not go down that path. So he just got out of rehab and he asked her if she's happy, and she says, so darn. Or she says she's so happy, and he says, you're so darn beautiful. So then we fade in from that to seeing Raina in what we find out is a coma. And that it's been 2 weeks since the car crash. And her girls are there. Daphne and Maddie are there with her sister, Tandy. And then we go into a scene with Deacon in court. And we find out Deacon has taken responsibility for the entire car crash, even though Raina was driving. He has taken responsibility for driving under the influence and reckless driving were the charges. And so we see that Teddy is in court, and he whispers to his henchman that his henchman better have taken care of this judge, so we know that he's put some sway in with the judge to make sure that Deacon gets sent away And the judge sets the bail at $1 million. And Deacon says he doesn't want any representation, no lawyer. He's just planning on pleading guilty.
Yeah, and doesn't the judge say something about, well, if she dies, then the charges are going to go up. You could be in jail for, like, 30 years.
Yeah, so, like, the judge is basically indicating that they're not going to sentence him yet. Because, or, you know, he's not going to be able to plead guilty yet, basically, because they're going to wait to see if Raina pulls out of the coma or not. So then we go from that to seeing Juliet. Juliet, for the first time. She's watching footage of Raina, and we see that Glenn is with her. Glenn's her manager again.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. But she is back to her old Juliet ways, complaining about Raina being number one on the charts, and her record's going to be dropping this week, and how could she be number one if Raina's number one? And we also find out that Emily, her assistant, has a sick relative who she had to leave Juliet for. I didn't get a chance to research whether that actress just got another job or maybe she'll be coming back. But Glenn brings in a guy to be interviewed, and Juliet kicks Glenn out. And you can see that she's getting ready to sink her teeth into this guy.
Yeah, and the guy says that he doesn't have any family as well. He mentions something about that.
And then,
so that he will be able to work 24/7 for her.
Yikes. So, Juliet, back to her old conniving ways. Then we go see Scarlett, and she's giving Avery a drink. She mentions that it's her last night at the Bluebird, and that she's the drink is on the house. Then we're introduced to the character Zoe, who is, it turns out, is a childhood friend of Scarlett's. They've known each other since first grade. Which is kind of like if my friend Katie's watching. We met in kindergarten. So, or watching, listening. It's kind of that, you know, that kind of time frame. So we find out that Scarlett is panicking a little bit about leaving the Bluebird to pursue her record deal. She's worried she quit too soon. We see Avery playing a gig at the Bluebird. He's playing some awful song. Why? I mean, it's like they do that on purpose. Yeah. They give him the worst
and his songs.
And I don't know if it's whether I'm just prejudiced against this character, but I really am trying. Oh, and if just a costume mention, Avery is in gray and Scarlett is still in white, like her normal white, but Avery has switched from black to gray.
And he's also shaved his little goatee action. He's like kind of clean cut. Now, but
still has his long hair, though.
Yeah, I think you know what it is with his music that bugs me is that I feel like more than any of the other characters, his lyrics are so obviously about himself, and they're always like,
"When first you fall."
Yeah, and they're just like,
"And then you fly."
Yeah, they're very emo. It's like very emo and like, "Oh me," and you know, it's just like he's a good musician, but it's like. The lyrics are just too whiny.
Yeah, it's very airy. Like, very breath-heavy.
Yeah.
There goes another plane. and before we continue, I guess we should have mentioned at the top. This season 2, episode 1 title is called I Fall to Pieces, which is the name of the song that we played you up at the top.
By Patsy Cline, originally.
And this version was by Loretta Lynn. So, yeah, that was the intro music you heard. I Fall to Pieces by Loretta Lynn. And so, we're with Scarlett the Bluebird.
By the way, Patsy Cline died in a car crash.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, so that's pretty...
That's a tie-in.
Yeah.
That's playing the name game with the title.
Yeah, so it's cool, because the title of the song...
Well, it's not cool.
Not that, but, like, it reflects...
It's really not cool for people to die.
It's not. It's
car
not.
Crashes.
That's not what I meant, but it's...
All our listeners are going to think that you think it's cool and awesome.
Well, only the good die young, I guess. But you know, the I Fall to Pieces, it reflects what's happening to the characters in the show, but also the fact that Patsy Cline actually died in a car crash. There's a car crash on the show. It's a nice tie-in. It's smart.
So another thing we find out from Scarlett is that she's been sleeping on Zoe's couch, and she says she has to learn to stand on her own 2 feet, which indicates to us that she said no to Gunner, and we immediately get that confirmed in the next scene when we see Will and Gunner painting what used to be Scarlett and Gunner's apartment, and there's a mention that Scarlett's couch is still there, we get confirmed that Scarlett did say no to him, and Will's trying to get him out of his funk of Scarlett leaving, and he paints a longhorn on the wall because they're both from Texas. And Will, in order to get Gunner up and about, he calls Lacey and tells him they're having a housewarming party.
Yeah. Bring all your friends.
Bring all your friends.
Tells Gunner, friends in low places. And he mentions a couple other songs that are all about...
How do you like me now?
Drinking and moving on and partying in order to get
rid
of your
worries.
He's
like, have you ever listened to country music? Oh, Will. Oh, man. I want him to come out of class so bad. So, anyways... The next scene is Juliet getting some attention, for lack of a... But she's getting a lot of down-south attention from this assistant as part of the assistant interview she's doing.
Yeah.
And
while she's watching TV.
While she's watching footage of Raina on TV, and she basically tells him to stop and to get home safe. And
yeah.
kicks him out so he doesn't get the job. Then she calls Glenn and tells him that she needs 1,000 candles. And then the final scene before we get to the credits in the first commercial is Deacon being put in a cell. Guard tells him, a lot of Raina James fans here. You better hope she pulls through. And then it's Deacon in the cell and we get to the title sequence. And that's the first commercial break. We'll come back from commercial to have Juliet at rehearsal for her record release party, which is at the Pantheon.
Parthenon. Yeah, and the Parthenon is in Centennial Park. It's sort of near downtown Nashville. Nashville has this nickname, the Athens of the South, because it has one of the highest concentrations of colleges and universities in the South. And so the Parthenon was built at one point, I'm not sure when, but it's built there sort of in reference to that. And it's a very cool building. It looks like the original Parthenon in Athens, Greece.
So they were definitely there filming, right?
Oh, yeah.
All those columns and everything?
Yeah, it looks huge.
Is it huge?
It's pretty big, yeah. And
is it to scale of the Parthenon?
I'm not totally sure about that, but maybe.
In Rome? That's where the Parthenon is, right?
No, in Athens.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, Athens of the South. Because Athens was a center of learning in the ancient world.
What's the place in Rome? There's the Colosseum, and then there's... Rome has a Parthenon.
I'm sure it did, yeah.
No,
but
it does.
Parthenon is...
Are you sure the Parthenon is Athens?
Yes, I'm positive.
The Romans have a Parthenon, too, though, and it's
in Rome. But the Romans stole everything from the Greeks.
Yada, 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 yada.
This isn't a history podcast.
Yeah, no duh. Scarlett shows up, or Juliet tells Avery, have been confirmed as her band leader. I guess he's stuck around. He's leading her band now. That she's going to learn an old song to play at the record release party. Scarlett comes and asks her for help to get Deacon's bail. Juliet tells her to just let him go. And Avery kind of gives Juliet a weird look. Then we go to the aforementioned housewarming party of Gunner and Will. And Gunner meets Lacey's friend Savannah. And, oh, yeah, and this is where I noticed Gunner has facial hair now, and he looks very, you know, he's supposed to look disheveled. I mean, he started to look disheveled towards the end of last season when he was being an owl on stuff. But
yeah.
He's really not holding it together. And we see Will see the guy that he saw last season who we had assumed he hooked up with.
Yeah.
And he's at the housewarming party. Then we see Teddy, and we see Peggy for the first time. And she tells Teddy she's got a doctor's appointment to confirm the pregnancy, and he says that he wants nothing to do with her, and he will support her financially, but that's it. So I guess you were right. He does want the divorce to come off. Now, that's not to say that Raina does, though. I still think that Raina's not going to want to get the divorce.
No, Will wants
to. Or Will wants to get the divorce, excuse
well,
me.
Well, later there's a scene at the end that sort of addresses that a little bit when she's talking to Lamar.
Well.
But I think you're right. But
I don't think she wants anything to do with Teddy. I mean,
no, I don't.
She might kind of be like Scarlett, learn to stand on her own.
Yeah.
I mean, not that she doesn't know. I mean, she's Raina James.
Yeah, but she's been stuck in this love triangle thing for a long time. And...
Man. Poor Deacon.
Yeah, Deacon is.
But anyways, that's a short scene. Then we go to see Tandy goes into Raina's room, and we see Lamar sitting vigil there, and they're. On the news footage, it mentions that Raina's mom also died in a fiery car crash, like Patsy Cline, but that it would be an awful twist of fate if Raina also succumbs to her injuries and dies from the car crash. And they mentioned her name was Virginia Wyatt. I don't know if they had mentioned what her name was before.
I don't remember hearing her
name. I mean,
name
we know
before.
Her last name's Wyatt because that's Lamar's last name, but her name is Virginia Wyatt. Tandy tells Lamar that Lamar's feeling really guilty about not being there when Virginia died, and Tandy says it wasn't his fault and tells him that he should talk to Raina, and she leaves the room, and Lamar asks Raina to forgive me for everything. So, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's, I mean, later we kind of get a little hint that maybe there's something more going on with...
But do you think that Lamar, he's really remorseful and that he really wants to start over again with Raina and...
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
Obviously, there are wrenches that could be thrown into that, but do you think he's really truthfully, that's what he wants, is just a clean slate with Raina and to start again?
I feel like he has, wanting it and then actually following through on it are two different things. And he has expressed the desire in the past to want to patch things up only to then fall back on his old behavior. So, you know, old habits die hard.
True, but Lamar's old habits are very evil villainy and may have caused the woman he loved to die.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how to take Lamar. I don't even know if I'm rooting for a reconciliation with him and Raina.
Yeah,
I just,
but we don't know. I mean, maybe it's not true. I don't know.
I just think about the day when Dad, I mean, I know they're all fictional characters, people. You don't have to write in and tell me that. But the day when Daphne and Maddie, you know, is there going to be a day where they find out what kind of grandfather they had? And
yeah.
I mean, I guess they're a few generations removed, but still, it's just like, I don't know. He's done just so many awful things.
Yeah.
But we fade into, from that scene to another flashback. This time, it's Deacon asking
Raina
to marry him. And she says yes,
and
go into the throes of passion.
Yeah, and he mentions, too, like, I know you've been seeing Teddy
Conrad. Yeah, right. I have
so
it
it's,
here, too.
So it's been a couple of years, I guess, since the last...
Oh, we're quite a bit in the future, because she doesn't start to see Teddy towards the end of...
Right before he went into rehab for the last time.
Right. So,
right
when she got pregnant with Maddie. So,
yeah.
This is, like...
That might be the night... I mean, we see them sort of, you know, making love. That might...
Yeah, that must have been when she conceived Maddie.
Yeah, that might be it, yeah.
So, it's like 14 years ago. So, we're probably about 3 to 4 years from the first flashback.
Yeah.
And, he mentions that she was seeing Teddy... And that he wants her to stop that and marry him. And she says yes. And fades into Deacon in prison. And Megan Van Ooy is the public defender who comes to talk to him. Deacon says that it was all his fault and he wants to just head back to his cell, that she's not going to be able to do anything for him. And she tells him not to get comfy because she doesn't give in so easily and she's very good at what she does. Then we see the girls and Teddy and Tandy are at Raina's room and they're running some tests. Tandy says they should get the girls away. The girls see them run some tests on Raina and her eyes open and it kind of freaks them out. And then we go to the commercial, the next commercial.
So then when we get back from the commercial break, we see Peggy at the hospital and she's getting her sonogram. And the nurse is asking her typical questions, and Peggy mentions that she's had like some spotting or whatever, and then she asks, "Why can't we hear the heartbeat?" And the nurse tells her that she has miscarried.
Well, this probably isn't a nurse. This is probably an ultrasound technician.
Oh, okay.
And the problem I have with this scene is that that's not how it works. To anyone out there who has had this, been in this exact situation as Peggy, I have been in this exact situation. What happens is they do the ultrasound, and if they can't hear a heartbeat, you know, they try to do an ultrasound, you know, a vaginal ultrasound. And if they still can't hear the heartbeat, they have to go get, they can't say anything to you. They have to go get a doctor. Doctor has to come in and try and find a heartbeat. And then the doctor has to confirm for you that you've miscarried. Now, this woman could have been a doctor. I mean, that's possible. And so she didn't need anyone to confirm it. But it, I know it's TV and they were just like speeding things up for time. But that's not how it works, people. So anyways, keep going.
Yeah, so then we find out that she is basically miscarried. Then we cut to Juliet in the middle of a concert at the Parthenon for her new album. And a photo montage pops up on the screen of Raina James, and Juliet sort of gives this tribute to Raina, and she's very...
A slideshow of mostly Juliet and Raina pictures.
Yeah, all the pictures are her and Raina. And then she's like, oh, she's my idol and my mentor and my friend, and it's very, like, kind of me, like, I'm talking about Raina, but it's really about me. And Avery's kind of like this is a little
gives
bit
her that
inappropriate.
Weird look again. Yeah.
And then she sings one of Raina's songs, which is "This Love Ain't Big Enough for the Two of Us."
Oh, and she's releasing the album. Her new album is entitled "Inside the Dream."
Yeah, and she has a dress on that Mara didn't like.
Oh yeah, I didn't like that dress because it was like the dress was fine, but then there was this little like tail.
Yeah.
Like white tail, floor-length tail coming out of it. And it, I mean, it was like it was just there so the wind machine could blow it back and forth. And it just, I mean, I don't know. It just did not rub me the right way.
And we see...
Oh, and the lyrics to the song she's singing.
I didn't write down.
The lyrics are, "This love ain't big enough for the two of us." So it's like Juliet's saying... Listen, this love that you have for country music ain't big enough for me and Raina.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way, but
yeah, that's how I took it. Like, this love ain't big enough for the two of us, so really you can only love me. I'm the only one who can be number one, or I'm the only one that should be number one.
Yeah, and Avery does a really good guitar solo, and Juliet sort of is like, hey, give it up for this guy. Which kind of brings me back to what I was saying earlier. I really feel like Avery should just stick to doing guitar. Because he is a good musician, but his songwriting is just not very good.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. So then we cut to the party, back at the party at Gunner and Will's place.
Oh, boy.
And Will is back in the sort of laundry room area with this secret guy. And the guy's like, how are you, you know, why are you ignoring me? And then Will kind of gets up in his face and, like, is about
grabs
to...
Grabs his collar.
Grabs his collar and wants to beat him up, but then there's a half a second of maybe he's going to kiss him, and then he, like, throws him.
He, like, pushes him away.
Yeah, and then the girls jump in, or kind of bust in, and are like, what's going on? And Will's like, this creep tried to make a pass at me!
Can't believe it.
And then he's like, it'll be all right now. I got my girl here. And is trying to compensate for the fact that he's in the closet.
He is so gay.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the Parthenon, Juliet at the concert. She's talking more about Raina again. And then she says, if you want to do something special for Raina, I want everybody to come to the hospital. And Avery, again, kind of looks at her like, this is really distasteful. And then afterwards... Avery comments about the pictures and how Juliet was in all the pictures with Raina. And then he says, well, I'm not going to go. There's a party for Scarlett at the Bluebird. And Juliet sort of makes a comment about how, well, it seems like she's moved on.
Oh, no, she says, she's like, let me just tell you that, or she confirms that that's the girl that he used to date. And she's like, well, let me just give you a piece of advice. It looks like she's moved on, and so should you, or, like, something like that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about the... I don't think it was Okay, I disagree that it was distasteful. I think that Juliet is playing the game exactly how it needs to be played by someone in her position. Now, it's very manipulative,
yeah,
and she's just using it to get her record, but that is what matters, is getting a number one record. Oh, because
she's smart.
Something else, I don't know if we've mentioned this or we've come up, but we have also found out the Edgehill Records.
Oh, right.
Who is Juliet and Raina's, and who Raina gave Raina her own label, has been bought out by a conglomerate.
Mm-hmm. And Marshall Evans.
Marshall Evans is gone. He's not the decision maker anymore. So Juliet's got to fight to be number one in this huge conglomerate. We don't even know how big that company is. And then my question is, what's happening to Raina's label? Does she still get to keep it? Like, is she still going to get the support?
And Scarlett's record deal, too.
I mean, I would assume she still has a record deal. And then the other thing was, Marshall Evans was supposed to listen to Will's demo, and then he was supposed to be the second person she signed.
Yeah.
So we don't know if that's happened or if Will's going to get signed. I mean, it doesn't feel like Will has heard anything because...
No, he didn't mention anything about
it. I don't think he has. And it makes sense because all that happened and then Raina got into a car accident.
Yeah. And I feel bad because Marshall was kind of at the beginning of last season, you didn't like him so much, but then after Wrong Song... And at the end of the season, he had kind of chilled out and was, like, more on the team of everyone.
Yeah. So now he's gone. Keeping us on our toes.
Yeah. So then we cut to the hospital, and Maddie is at the hospital by Raina's bed, and she's looking on her iPad, and she's looking at pictures of Raina and Deacon. Teddy walks in, asks her how she's doing. And Maddie's, like, very confused, and,
used to be my uncle, and now he's my dad.
Yeah, and then Teddy's like, well, he's your biological dad, but I'm your real father, which is a valid point. And she says, well, how could he do this?
She's like, I used to like him, but if he loved Raina so much, how could he do this?
Yeah, and then we have our third flashback. Which is now Deacon is passed out, drunk on the couch. Raina sort of wakes him up, and they have a fight. And
you get up in the middle of the night and just start drinking? And he's like, no, I haven't been drinking. Yeah. When there's a open, almost empty bottle.
Well,
he says
I couldn't sleep. And then she goes, were you drunk when you asked me to marry you?
No, she said, were you drunk when you asked me?
Yeah, and he goes...
And he says, asked you what?
Yeah, and so then
he's completely blank stare in his eyes.
Yeah, and so then she throws the ring at him, basically, and that's how
And then leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then now we cut to the jail. Deacon's in jail. Scarlett is visiting him. She's still trying to secure his bail. And Deacon's like, don't bother, sell my house, this is where I'm gonna be, I'm a drunk, you know, you can't rely on me. Scarlett's like, you know, you're so much more than a drunk, you've been like a father to me. And then Deacon kind of flips out and goes, I'm nobody's...
What did you say?
Yeah, I'm nobody's damn father, which, you know, is referencing probably Maddie. Then we cut back to the party. Gunner is on the couch with what's the girl's
Savannah.
Name? Savannah, who I'm hoping we won't see too much more.
I don't think we'll see her again. But let me just point out, I know there are probably girls like this, but the representation of like this girl, she looked like she had been doing a bunch of blow and that she had had a nosebleed, and she just looked really whorish. Like, yeah. I mean. I don't know. It leads to this whole environment of like slut shaming that happens. And I don't know. I get really angry when that's how.
Yeah. And then
I mean,
she...
I guess that's what that's the type. That's like what's supposed to be depicted of this girl. And I'm sure there are girls like that, but there's a way of depicting sexuality without making a girl seem like a coked out whore.
Yeah. And she, we're trying to keep it PG here, but I guess you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she talks about how she's just broken up with this guy and how, you know, you go from having all this sex to never having any. And, you know, and then she starts kissing Gunner and he kind of stops her and he's like, you know, this is Scarlett's apartment. She's everywhere. This couch where we're sitting on is the first place we made love. And then we cut to, she says something like, well, you need to get rid of her somehow.
Yeah. You need to get her out of here.
Yeah. And then we see,
and he's like, how are we going to do that?
Yeah. We see the light go off in his brain like, oh, and then we cut to them outside, throwing the couch onto a bonfire.
Jousting it in lighter fluid like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, and then the flame goes up real high, and then we hear like fire engines, and
everyone's freaking out, like, "Oh crap!"
Yeah, and then so then we cut to back to the hospital. All of Juliet's fans are outside. Glenn is like, "They're not going to let these people in." And
No. He says, she's in the ICU, so you're probably only family, so they weren't going to let Juliet in.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then Maddie sees Juliet. Then we cut to inside. Maddie and Juliet are inside. Juliet asks Maddie if your mom... Or no, Maddie asks Juliet, did your mom ever lie to you? Juliet's like, well, yeah, you know, she was
almost everything out of her mouth was a lie.
And then Maddie's like, no one understands...
I don't have anyone to talk to about this.
Yeah, and this is where Juliet kind of, again, starts to now show her, like, softer, like, more human side. First time in this episode, really. She gives Maddie her phone number and says, if you ever need anyone to talk to, call me. So that was nice to see that.
I wonder, when is Maddie going to use Juliet's number?
Yeah.
And what she's going to use it for?
Yeah. Chekhov's phone number, I guess.
Yeah, Chekhov's phone number.
And then Maddie says something about how this is all because of me, because I started rifling through Raina's closet. I found the box that had the paternity test. And then I confronted Deacon about him being my father, asked him if he was my father, and then he fell off the wagon, got drunk, got in the car wreck. So Maddie thinks
we've also confirmed that Maddie doesn't know that Deacon's her father. Like, or, well, no, I guess she does know that Deacon's her father, but Deacon said, like, I don't know to her whether he's her father or not. And
so if he's not accepting it, or if he actually doesn't know...
No, when she confronted him.
Yeah.
Maddie said, I confronted Deacon and asked if he was my father. And Juliet said, what did he say? And she said, I don't know. So, I don't know if that confirmed for Juliet that Deacon is Maddie's father, or whether it just confirmed for Juliet that Maddie doesn't know who her father is. But it's been confirmed to Maddie, so I don't know. It wasn't exactly crystal clear whether Juliet knows that Deacon... I mean, I think she does.
Yeah.
But so now my question is, when is Juliet going to slip to Scarlett about Maddie being Deacon's?
Yeah.
And then when are we going to get some cousin time?
Yeah. So then we cut back to the Bluebird. It's the going away party for Scarlett. She's running a little bit late. Her friend is like...
Zoe.
Zoe is like, you know, I've known you since the first grade. You're not fine. And then we cut back to the hospital.
Well, she tells Zoe that she'd just been to see Deacon.
Oh, right, right, right.
And that's
okay.
why she's upset.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the hospital. Juliet, Teddy, Maddie, they're all at Raina's bed. And then Juliet says basically that, you know, her and her mom, when her mom was not drunk, they used to listen to Raina all the time. And that their favorite song was the...
Juliet's favorite song, Juliet's song was... There's Not Enough Love.
This Love's Not Big for the Two of Us.
No, yeah, that wasn't the name of the actual song, but yeah. This Love's Not Big Enough was the name of the song.
Yeah. And then... Oh, and then we have our one more flashback, and now it's...
Our last flashback.
Now it's Raina with her sister.
Just a few... Probably just like a month or two after...
Yeah.
The last flashback.
And we see Deacon inside the house, and he's, like, destroying everything. He's, like, breaking all
which,
the furniture.
Which, you know, refers back to something that Raina said in season one about him being in rehab. She's, like, why, because Deacon last season asked her, like, why couldn't you wait till I was out of rehab? And she's like, well, what did you want me to do? You broke every stick of furniture in my house.
Yeah.
So and now we're seeing that. We're seeing him break every stick of furniture
yeah.
in her house.
And that's what he did when he fell off the wagon with his own apartment
mm-hmm.
this time. So he's an angry drunk.
Well, he's a furniture breaking drunk.
Yeah, and the Raina's sister is like, you've got to let him go. You know, what kind of daddy's he going to be if you're pregnant? You can't do this. So it's very quick, but that's
Raina,
what we see.
But Raina said, she's like, I got to tell him that she's pregnant, and Tandy talks her out of it.
Yeah. So now we cut back to the jail, Deacon and the lawyer, and Deacon is still trying to just say, you know, I'm guilty, this is my fault. The lawyer's like, well, you know, I did some digging. Police report, you confessed, so they stopped investigating, but we found these diagonal bruises on Raina that proves that
from left to right.
Yeah, which proves that she was, you know, the bruises were from the steering wheel.
No.
Right?
From her seatbelt.
Oh.
From left to right.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And so it proves that Raina was driving. And that basically being like, you know, you may have...
Well, yeah, it hasn't proved to anyone that Raina's driving, but it proved it confirmed for that lawyer that Deacon lied about it, and now she's going to try and
make
sure
these
charges
go
away,
and that you didn't commit a crime. You might have helped cause this, but you didn't break the law.
You didn't break the law. She's like, yeah, did you, you know, contribute to this happening? Probably, but did you break the law? No. And Deacon also asks, like, when she comes to visit, he says, "Don't you have a husband and kids to get home to?" And she just flies by that comment.
Yeah.
So I don't know if. Maybe there's a future romance for Deacon and the lawyer.
I kind of doubt that. But maybe you're right. I don't know. So then we cut back to after the party's over at Gunner and Will's place.
Or after the firemen have broken
up
the party.
And Will's like, well, the party ended a little bit prematurely. And Gunner's like, I'm an idiot. I can't party my feelings away. And then he basically kind of says to Will, like, you know, why are you staying in the closet? And Will's like, I'm not in the closet. Which is ridiculous because he's already told Gunner earlier.
Yeah,
last
I know,
season,
but he's
wrestling with it.
But they're
so.
Out in the public, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, when you tell a lie, if you believe the lie, then you believe it's true.
Yeah.
Like, that's how people are such good liars. That they believe what they're telling you is true. So if he tells himself that he's not in the closet and he's straight and all he wants is to be number one in country, and he can't be number one in country if you're gay, like, this is, you know, and I mean, that's probably true today. I guess I don't know if there's any.
Not really. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone that's open. I mean, somebody correct me because I'd like to know. But I don't know if that's the case or not. But also, Will is wearing his black cowboy hat, and whenever he wears his black cowboy hat, crazy things happen. Like, he drives in front of a oncoming train with Gunner.
Yeah.
And they throw, you know, the sofa on it. Like, all these crazy things happen when he's wearing that black hat.
Well, you know. You wear a black cowboy hat, and you're looking for trouble, I guess. So then we cut to the Bluebird, And it's Scarlet's party. Avery gives a toast to Scarlet. Gunner shows up. You know, we find out that they've been that Gunner and Scarlet, they're like in the back of the Bluebird, that they've been working different shifts kind of to avoid each other.
Yeah, they haven't seen each other for a while.
Scarlet makes a comment about how he smells like barbecue, and Gunner's like, yeah, something like that. Then Gunner's like, you know, I know why you said no. You know, you got to grow up sometime, but if you don't mind, I'd really like to join the festivities. And Scarlet's like, of course. Avery comes back, interrupts him, says everybody is asking for you.
They want you to sing a song.
Yeah, Scarlet leaves, goes back to the party, and Avery says to Gunner, well, I guess you can't take no for an answer. And Gunner replies, well, I guess that makes two of us.
Burn!
Yeah.
By the way, Scarlet's hair is, like, extremely longer, it feels like, than it was last season. She kind of looks like Tangled from the Disney movie.
Yeah, she looked different. She looked different. The hair seemed a little bit straighter to me, too, but maybe it's just longer.
I don't think it seems straighter. I think it's the same kind of curly waviness, but definitely it was longer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And
which doesn't really make sense, because it's not really that far in the future.
Well, I
maybe
mean,
she just didn't have it down as much. Maybe they just styled it differently. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe that's it.
You know, new season, new haircuts. And then Scarlet gets up on stage, and people are like, sing Looking for a Place to Shine, which is her big, not hit, but the song that...
That's what she sang at the
audition
Ryman.
And at the Ryman.
Mm-hmm.
And then... she says, well, you know, I really wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be leaving the Bluebird, and I wouldn't have had this record deal if it wasn't for Gunner. And so she asks Gunner to come up and sing
a song that they just wrote a couple weeks ago. So it must have been right before he asked her to marry him.
Yeah. And then the name of the song is Why Can't I Say Goodnight? And of course, it's awesome because everything they do together is amazing.
Yeah, it was a really, really great song.
And this song is playing over a sort of a montage.
As is typical with
Nashville.
Yeah, sort
of near the end of the show.
So
montage.
It's playing, over the following scenes.
Yeah, and so we see Will with the girl. They're in bed, and she's trying to, like, start kissing him, and he says, I'm not in the mood, you should go home. And then we see Peggy with Teddy. And she's like, yeah, everything's great. I'm still pregnant.
He comes to sit next to her, and he says, he can see that she's been crying. And he's like, why are you upset?
Oh, I didn't notice that she'd been crying.
Yeah, he asked her, why is she upset? Yeah, and her eyes are all red, like she's been crying. She's still kind of crying a little. And she says, you know, obviously she's crying because she found out that she miscarried. But instead she says to him, I heard the baby's heartbeat. So we know that she's back to her old lion ways.
Yeah, and then we see Deacon in jail, and he's, like, holding his hand because it, like, hurts a lot. Let's see here. Yeah, and then I think when the song ends, Scarlet asks Gunner, you know, why did you come tonight? Why did you agree?
No. She said she thanks him for playing.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't really want to. And she goes, well, why did you?
Yeah. And he says, well, you don't give up on the people you love.
So maybe they'll be back together.
Yeah.
Someday.
Eventually. They're too good to not get together eventually, but
they gotta keep writing songs.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Nashville if they just got married right away.
Well, no.
Yeah. So, and then we cut to the hospital. Teddy and Lamar. Lamar is sort of giving Teddy a hard time, as he's wont to do. I wish you had tried harder. I wish you had, been a better husband to Raina. And Teddy gets really defensive and is like, you know, I she was happy for a long time, and I tried really hard, but I saw the writing on the wall, and I wasn't going to just let her walk all over me.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to wait around for my wife to pack up a bag and leave like yours did.
Yeah, and don't project your crap on me. And then Raina kind of goes into shock, and her vitals spike, and then we cut to commercial. We come back from commercial. The doctor is with
Tandy.
He's saying, you know, things are actually looking pretty good. We're going to bring her out of the coma. But, you know, there's a chance that her cognitive skills may not be there. She may not recognize anyone. And then we cut to Scarlett at Deacon's. We see that the place is trashed.
Well, it's in the same state it was after he fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
Because nobody's been in there since.
And
Once again, it was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And we find out that Scarlett is, I guess, going to move into Deacon's place. Juliet shows up and she says, I will post the bail for Deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scarlett asks, I wish I knew why he fell off the wagon. And so, you know.
And you see Juliet kind of give a look like.
Yeah.
She knows why.
She knows why. So then we're at the hospital and they're bringing her out of the coma. And this is actually when they mention the hospital is Vanderbilt Hospital.
And James has a little bit of history with Vanderbilt Hospital.
I was born at Vanderbilt Hospital. Vanderbilt Hospital was where my mom worked as a nurse in the infant intensive care unit for over 25 years. My brother went to Vanderbilt College, and my mom went to Vanderbilt Nursing School. So I have deep ties to Vanderbilt, and it's probably the best hospital in Nashville. It's a great hospital. So they bring her out of the coma. The doctor's like, blink once, blink twice if you know where you are.
Well, they take her tube out.
Yeah.
And then they tell her, like, you're at Vanderbilt Hospital. Do you understand? And she said, blink twice. Don't try and talk.
Yeah. And then she looks over.
And she does, just the most brilliant acting by
Bonnie
Britton.
I mean, I really, that was, like, really
She's
good.
Not wearing any makeup. Like, she looks, oh. Gosh,
like somebody who just got out of a coma. Yeah, like
it, I mean, not that you wouldn't expect that, but on other shows, people might be so dolled up that it's unrealistic.
Yeah, or they would be like, oh my God, I'm so confused. Like, she was just, like, very, like.
I mean, it was so real. She is just the best. Ah, she didn't. By the way, the Emmys were last weekend. She didn't win.
Yeah.
She looked amazing.
She did look good.
And she deserves to get an Emmy. She didn't get an Emmy for Friday Night Lights either.
Who beat her? Who got the Emmy this year? Was it Homeland?
It was Claire Danes.
Claire Danes.
Yeah.
Which, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and before, during Friday Night Lights, I think it was Juliana Margulies for Good Wife.
Yeah.
That kept getting it.
I feel like the Emmys, they'll keep nominating her, and if it's on for 3 or 4 seasons, she'll win it at some point.
She has to.
I mean, she's been nominated a lot now, so.
Oh, yeah, she's been nominated a lot. I think she was nominated for American Horror Story a couple of years ago, too, before Nashville, and, man, she's just so good. I want her to win something so bad.
She'll win one. She'll get it. So then her family is standing by the door, and the doctor asks her to turn and look at them, and do you recognize these people? There's a moment of, does she? And then she nods her head yes, and everybody's
doesn't blink twice for yes like she was instructed to do.
So she nods yes, and everybody's happy because we find
and
out.
And then they all come in the room,
yeah.
And her girls first.
And then we cut back to the jail. Deacon is being released.
No, Deacon's lawyer shows up.
Oh, okay, yeah, and says,
you're being released, and he goes, someone posted my bail.
And the lawyer says no, but someone has confirmed that Raina was driving, and it's Raina who
has
confirmed.
And Deacon goes, who is that? God, you're leaving all the suspense out of this recap, man. And she says, Raina, she woke up, and then she's like, I'll give you a minute, because she can see that Deacon's kind of overtaken with emotion, and then we see Deacon's face, and he just has this subtle smile because he's, I mean, you can tell that internally he's so relieved that Raina woke up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, obviously Raina's not going to die. She's the star of the show. But if, like, she had, I don't think he probably would have killed himself.
Yeah. Or even if she had woken up but was, like, brain dead.
Well, he doesn't know if she's perfectly okay.
Yeah. She may, you know, it's going to take a while. But, so then we cut back to Tandy, she's with a federal auditor guy. I don't know what.
Somebody who, I don't think it's the same guy that was going after Teddy at the end of last season. I think it's someone new that Teddy has sicked on Lamar.
Yeah. Well, he says to my boss was gonna or something. Anyways.
Yeah. But his boss isn't Teddy. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
So then he says basically something that, well, you know, your father has been involved in a lot of stuff, and there's evidence that points to Lamar being involved with the death of his wife.
Virginia. Your mom.
Which was what we were talking about kind of earlier. Which is funny because remember my prediction last week about Peggy, and I was like making this prediction that Lamar was going to maybe have her killed, and you're like, Lamar would ever do that, and he probably, maybe he won't with Peggy, but it's kind of funny because now we're learning that maybe he does have that. Because
what happened was Virginia, like, left one night and she died in a fiery car accident. Well, it was told to Raina last season that when the night she left, she had packed her bags. That's what Whitey White tells her. And because Whitey White was Virginia's lover. And he knows that she's packing her bags to leave. So Lamar was out of town when this happened. But
how convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. But I don't know. I really need clarity about the timeline and how he did it. And I'm sure it'll all be explained if it turns out that he did. And maybe Raina and Lamar are going to have this great reconciliation. And then it's going to, you know, come to light that he did this, and it's going to break them apart again. I mean, that's a possibility that's going to happen. So yeah, what do you think is going to happen this season?
Well, we have one more scene.
Oh, okay.
So in the final scene was Lamar and Raina, and they're outside at the hospital and,
overlooking Nashville.
Yeah. And,
is that really the view from Vanderbilt?
I'm not sure. I don't know. There's probably some sort of outside balcony type view.
But it kind of overlooks the city. Is it like up high?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't been to every single corner of Vanderbilt Hospital.
But you know where it's located, right? You were born there and your mom worked there.
I mean,
there.
It's sort of getting close to downtown, but I don't know if you would be able to see the skyline from it. Anyways, they're outside. They're looking over Nashville. And Raina's like, you know, with all this stuff with me and Teddy and Deacon, I just, you know, now I just want to live my life and I want to put the past behind me.
Well, yeah.
And
Lamar says sometimes it's good to leave the past behind you.
Yeah, which is foreboding.
Yeah.
In a way, because it's like good advice, but it also, he might be talking about himself and something awful that he's done. So that was the first episode. A lot happened.
Of course, because a lot happens every episode of this show.
And, I don't know, predictions. What do you think? What are your predictions going forward?
Well, like I said, there's probably a reconciliation, and then with Raina, and then this will come to light, if it's true, or even if it's not true, it might come to light. I mean, I don't know. I guess I have more questions than predictions. It's like, is Will gonna get it? Deal is, I'm wondering if there's something going to happen when we actually see Raina go back to performing. Maybe something will have caused her, I don't know, will inhibit her from this car accident from being able to perform.
Yeah.
Obviously, Deacon's going to be inhibited because of his hand. I don't know if I'm sure his hand will heal, but when are Deacon and Raina going to see each other for the first time?
And will she want to see him?
I'm guessing not, but it's like...
Is that done?
And I don't think that...
Is that done? I mean, is that...
It's gotta be done. It's done, but it's. I don't think it's done forever.
Yeah. Maybe till season 3 or something.
Maybe it'll be the season finale.
Yeah, but I think definitely we're gonna have Deacon struggling with his hand playing guitar and not being able to get work. And obviously he's gonna have to go back into rehab. So that's going to be, I think, something that we'll see.
I don't know if it's obvious that he's going to go back to rehab.
Maybe he has financial problems because he can't play guitar. He can't, you know, he can't make a living.
Well, we don't know if he doesn't have any savings.
Well, I mean, I'm just speculating here.
I mean, I don't know that he's going to go back to rehab. He might just be done.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to go back to drinking either, because this is a pretty big thing to happen, a pretty big... bottom to hit.
Yeah.
Almost killing the woman you love. Like.
But he's still having to deal with. He's still going to have to deal with Maddie.
But he's going to be living with Scarlett.
Yeah, she'll be a good influence on him.
I mean.
Probably.
if anything, he's just going to get depressed and not leave house. But
yeah,
I
yeah,
I don't know.
And I think we're going to have. I can't imagine Gunnar and Scarlet not getting together eventually. But I think this is going to play out the whole season.
But perhaps they will continue to write maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if she really will still do this publishing deal.
I think maybe her publishing deal might fall through. I think this conglomerate thing is going to mess things up.
No. I don't think her... You're talking about her record
deal. Her record deal.
Yeah. I don't think her record deal is falling through. I don't know. Maybe Raina will take time off from performing and just focus on the record label.
That could happen, yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to... I don't think you can break those kind of deals that are already in place.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you can't. I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
Yeah.
That would be against the contracts that were signed. But trying to survive in a conglomerate is, like, really hard. I mean, who hasn't seen Empire Records? Yeah. So, yeah, so I guess that's about it.
Juliet, what do we think? What thing's going to happen with Juliet?
I think she'll probably be another roller coaster this season.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird because she seemed to make so much progress at the end of the season, and then to see her kind of revert back to sort of being catty and... I mean, it's good in the sense, like you said,
well,
she has
she
to
is,
play the game.
That's what she's doing. She's playing the game.
But...
The game of records.
I don't know, like, is she going to... She needs to deal with this mom
thing. She needs
thing.
To grow up.
She needs to deal with her mom dying. She
hasn't
done that. And she really hasn't grieved properly.
But, oh, that was another thing that happened over Gunnar and Scarlet. We see Juliet. There's a picture that we've seen earlier of her mom holding her when she was a baby, and she had candles around it, and then she took one of Raina's like first albums and put it next to that picture, like she's holding vigil for Raina. So, I mean, I think we will see more of her soft, sensitive side. I think she's going to probably try and grow as an artist like she was last year, but she's trying to, reconcile the two parts of her, the one part that is this pop diva star and the part that wants to be a real amazing performer.
Yeah, and the new conglomerate's definitely going to cause problems.
I think it's got to cause problems. Yeah, I mean,
Will, what do we think with Will?
Like I said, I don't know. He's either going to get a record deal and hopefully come out of the closet, or get a record deal and stay in the closet, or not get a record deal and be pushed further into the closet.
I think he'll stay in. I think he'll get a record deal. I think he'll start to become famous, and then I think rumors and stuff will... And he'll be kind of forced...
That's probably true.
He'll probably get forced
yeah.
out somehow because of this, and then it'll become like a big scandal.
Not unlike the ABC show Scandal.
Yeah, ABC does these types of melodramatic soap operas very well. That's kind of their thing, I feel like.
Yeah, right now it is. I think that's all we got. You can catch more of us on Twitter. My handle is @MaraRuth, MauraRuth.
And I'm @SpeedRich77.
And you can follow us on Tumblr at NashvilleUnplugged.tumblr.com. Can now download our podcast straight from iTunes and subscribe to us there.
Yeah, we're legit.
We're legit on iTunes now. The name of the podcast, once again, Nashville Unplugged. Just plug that into the search on the iTunes store. You can find us. Please rate and review us. We'd love to get hopefully 5-star ratings and reviews. And then you can always send us feedback. We didn't get any feedback this week, which I wasn't really expecting. It's our inaugural podcast. But if you do have any feedback, please send it to unpluggednashville@gmail.com. So that's the name of the podcast, Nashville Unplugged, reversed, unpluggednashville@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can tweet us if you want to ask a question.
No.
No? You don't want to get people tweeting you?
You can tweet us. You could tweet us.
We'll check the emails.
But
that's the better way.
That's the best way. The other way, we're going to set up a Facebook page, too, that you could send questions to. But, yeah, the best way to send us comments and questions is by the email. And then we can read those next week. That's all I have for now. We're going to sign off and play the rest of I Fall to Pieces. But I've been Mara.
And this is James.
And we'll see you later, y'all, on Nashville Unplugged.